Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Waller, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. I'm your host, Greg Wallach. Thank you for listening. If you have suggestions for a topic or a guest, please reach out and let us know. You know, when most people think about construction, they think about dust, noise, delays, and maybe a few horror stories about miscommunication or blown budgets. It's no wonder our industry has a bit of a reputation problem. But here's the thing, we don't have to accept that. Every project we take on is a chance to stand out in what often feels like a sea of sameness. We can build more homes, we can build trust, we can build confidence and connection. That starts with one powerful idea. Client experience isn't about what we build, but it's about how people feel while we build it. At the heart of it, every client wants the same three things. They want to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to belong. And we get that right, the rest follows. The budgets, the schedules, the craftsmanship, they all matter. But it's the experience that people remember. So in this episode, we're digging deep into what it means to lead with client experience, how we can transform ordinary projects into extraordinary relationships, and how doing that can change not just our companies, but the reputation of our entire industry. Our guest is Leah Valgardsen-Hostetter. She is the founder of Leia & Co., a boutique consulting firm that helps contractors, service-based business owners elevate their client experience. She focuses on aligning purpose, people, and processes so businesses can thrive with clarity, consistency, and integrity. Now, with more than 20 years of experience in the construction and service industries, she blends operational expertise with a passion for leadership and customer experience. She has held senior leadership roles at Pulte Group, Century Communities, and Construction Leading Edge. She is also a sought-after keynote speaker for organizations, including Micron Technologies and the Women in Residential Construction Conference. A 9-time marathon runner, certified yoga instructor, an avid traveler, having explored 48 states and 27 countries, she enjoys new adventures with her husband, Tyler, and their dog, Lucy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was quite the welcome.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. Let's jump right in, if you don't mind. Construction has a reputation problem. So when you hear that, what comes to mind first?
Well, you know, I think if you talk to anyone who's gone through a remodel or building a home, so many of them, not all of them, but many of them will say that was a nightmare. That was not an enjoyable experience. I'm so happy to be on the other side of it. But buckle up, if you're going to be doing a remodel or a new build, buckle up. That, you know, that's just what people say. It's over budget. It's over time. People don't communicate. I have no idea what's going on. I'm lost in all of this. And that's pretty common for people to say when they're talking about construction, but it doesn't have to be that way. And that's really kind of my mission, is to help construction business owners create a different experience for their clients.
Now, sea of sameness, that phrase came from you. Why do you think so many contractors and service-based businesses struggle to stand out in that ocean?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably because there's a lot of us, right? Every single market you go to, there's a pretty big amount of contractors that you could reach out to. And so many of them are pretty much playing on the same level. I think what helps us stand out in a sea of sameness is if we decide to elevate. And it's not just through our value or our quality, which I think so many contractors do great at. It's through the experience that we're going to create and deliver for our clients. That's how you're really going to stand out. And I think even more so in today's market than probably ever before.
Tell me your definition of client experience.
Ooh, I would just say, so it's okay. Good question. And there is a difference between client experience and client journey, and we can get into all of that. But your client experience is basically anything that a client experiences engaging with you. You may not even be a part of that, Actively, right? So they're doing a Google search, trying to find a contractor. They go to your website, they look at your reviews. This is all part of their experience, and you may or may not have even thought about how that experience is coming across to your clients. And so it's everything from that all the way through the actual build or remodel or whatever may be happening, through handing them the keys and even beyond with the warranty. Every single touch point, every single experience, whether there's an active person on the other end of that or not, that's the experience for your client.
So I have a very much a production bias. I was a carpenter and, came in through project management and stuff. I never thought to think about those early touches, the first trip to the website, or maybe it's a yard sign or something like that. That's a really great, great thing to point out that it's not just that day-to-day experience when we are, on the job building something, but it's actually, it's a lot more than that. Tell me what is a great customer experience.
Well, you mentioned it in the intro. I believe it's three things, and this is just human nature. Every single human wants to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to feel like they belong. And if we can achieve that for our clients and create that experience for them, that's just the base of it, right? If we can do that for them, we're already standing out in a sea of sameness. We're already going to be above what our competition may be.
So when I teach project management, I used to teach called the three constraints, and that was scope, time, and budget. And then I thought about it, and I've started teaching CX or client experience as part of that. What it had to, what's was it that made you think that this is one of the most important things for a business to, be aware of?
Yeah, so I actually started my career after university working for Pulte Homes in the Las Vegas division, and they are an exceptional company, just all the way around. They dedicate quite a bit of time to the training, and it's not just your technical training, but it's leadership training, and it's being a good human training. And one of the lines that I heard consistently from Pulte, and they still live by this today, is we do the right thing. And it was very refreshing actually to start my career with a company that was so committed to their clients and to doing the right thing for their clients. Not only did they build a great home, but they really took care of their clients. All the way from like me going through and doing a quality assurance walk on the home and making sure it looked as good as it possibly could. There's no such thing as perfect in building, but as good as it possibly could, and then taking care of them all the way through that first year of warranty. Now, that got drilled into me and my brain and my heart, and it has just been the core of who I am and how I operate in my career throughout. And so, and really what this boils down to, as I mentioned earlier, is we're talking about humans here. And if you can just remember that these are humans that we're dealing with, they want to be heard, they want to be valued, they want to be seen. If we can do that for them, that makes such a big difference. So, anyways, to answer your question, it was drilled into me early on in my career, and it's just been a focus of how I've engaged with people throughout. And, I've had the pleasure of working with construction business owners over the last several years, helping them with a lot of the things that you're talking about, the systems, the processes. Do you have the right team in the right spots? And how do they know they're doing well? Those things are so important. That's what I call behind the scenes, or behind the scenes, or excuse me, backstage versus front of stage. All of those things are so important for you to deliver a good client experience. But I think sometimes we get caught up in all of that and we don't even consider what does this look like for our clients. And so the way I approach this is stealing from Covey, beginning with the end in mind. I work with a client and I say, what is the experience you want your clients to have? Now let's go back and take a look at the internal stuff. Do you have the right processes and systems in place to deliver that? Who's responsible for this step? Do you have the right team in place to be able to do that? It kind of enlightens the whole process for your business if you begin with the end in mind, if you think about your clients first.
So if we're talking about the way people feel, right, that is the experience. What does it look like in that day-to-day interaction?
I think this is determined business by business, and that so many business owners think about what's our mission, what's our vision, what's our values. Those things are important. But sometimes there's a disconnect between saying those things and even putting them on the wall and then actually living them in your internal culture and then with the clients that you serve. And so one of the first things I do with a team, and I do like to work with a team, not just a business owner. I want to work with their team. I ask them, how do you want people to feel? And many times it aligns pretty closely with the values they've already identified. But if we can stay committed to that in every interaction, I want them to feel like they're heard. I want them to know they're valued. That changes things. Let's say we just focus on those two things. I want them to know I hear them and that I value them. Okay, so if they are consistently wanting updates, then you could be proactive about that. So you're getting ahead of that and you're letting them know, hey, every Friday you're going to get a phone call from me or an email from me. And then if you have questions, I promise you within a week, I'm going to get back to you on those things. If you're engaging with them in that type of way and they feel, oh my gosh, okay, they're actually listening to me, they're valuing me, that makes a big difference. That's a huge shift from being reactive instead of proactive.
Communication, and I often say this, people are probably sick of me saying this, but I think any slide deck I've ever made, communication could be on every page. I think that's such a powerful thing. I love the idea of the weekly communication. Even if someone's using a builder trend or a job tread and they have these daily logs available, I think that sort of personal touch is goes a long way, especially in goodwill. All part of that experience that's going on.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important to remember, and I often say this with my clients too, we do this every single day, day in and day out. We understand this process. We understand the lulls in the job. We understand when things get busy and crazy. And we get all of that. Our clients don't. They're not professional customers. And so if we are not designing that experience for them and saying, hey, this is the journey we're going to go on together, we're already kind of missing the point, right? We're going to set ourselves up for failure in the client experience and the journey they're having because they're kind of left in the dark trying to figure out what exactly is going on. And so remembering that you do this every single day. You build how many homes a year? They may build one home in their entire life, so this is a big deal for them, and we need to remember that.
That is great advice. I can tell you a time where I thought me remaining calm was the thing to do because of my experience. And there was a very minor issue, but this homeowner didn't feel heard, didn't feel like they were being listened to, thought I was being nonchalant about an issue, but I really wasn't. I was just trying to stay cool. But had I just communicated to her, hey, this is the issue that we discovered. Thank you. You pointed it out. I pointed it out. I don't remember at this point. But all I had to do was have that short conversation with her. She would have felt like I cared more, even though I did. It just wasn't obvious in that situation. So I often tell people that I'm either coaching or working with that we don't speak the same language as the homeowners do. They don't always understand what we think is normal, and they think it's out of the ordinary. So, yeah, maintaining that level of trust, I think is super important. Now, you said you work with teams, which I think is, and that's awesome. But sometimes it's leadership that forms these, the values or the path we want our companies to grow on. How can a leader, an owner, it could be a department head, how can they develop these cultures where empathy and communication are built into every step of the process?
It starts with how you take care of your team. We'd be remiss to think that we can not take very good care of our teams and our employees and then turn around and expect them to create a great experience for our clients. So it 100% starts with our team. So if you are the owner of a business, first of all, if you're even thinking about this, you're already on the right track, right? The fact that
Exactly.
you're caring about your clients and then you want to be sure that you have the right team in place and you're taking good care of them, you're already doing the right things. And from there, at the end of the day, you're the leader, so you get to make the final call. But I think there's something really powerful about inviting your team into it and saying, hey, I want all of us to be a part of this. However, I will say if you are, once again, those values that are sitting on the wall and you're not actually living them, you need to figure that out for yourself. You got to kind of take a step back and say, hey, if I say integrity is important, then am I actually living in integrity? And am I doing that with my team and my clients? So I think that's one of the first things is just being more self-aware as a leader and then starting to live the things that you're preaching, essentially.
We measure a lot of things in our industry, all kinds of data. Is there a way to measure the client experience and a way to know if we're on track or off track?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said this because I think the larger guys and gals in the industry, they do this very well. They survey a lot. Smaller builders don't. And it's very difficult to know the experience your clients are having unless you ask them. There is survey fatigue. People are a little over the surveying. But one of the things that I encourage my clients is just make it simple. When you have an interaction with your client, say, "Hey, how are we doing? On a scale of 10, 1 to 10, how are we doing?" And then you and your team decide what's acceptable and what's not. For me, I would say anything under 8, you probably need to address it. And then if anything above that, cool, you're doing the right things. If it's below that, ask the follow-up question. Help me understand that. We really aim to do a 10 job for you. So you gave us a 6. What's going on? Now, here's why this is important. Especially if you're doing like a custom build, and this could go over several months, even into years, right? If there's an issue at month 2 and the home isn't totally built until month 18, and you're not asking that question, guess what's happening? That thing that happened at month 2 is festering the whole time. And you may not know anything about it until the end, and then suddenly it's a thing. But if you're asking along the way with informal surveys, if you will, with those simple questions, something like that, where you're getting a pulse and then addressing things immediately, that's going to help to restore trust and faith in you as well. Well, even confirm, right? I'm not saying it needs to be restored per se. But it also, you can identify certain points within where you're going to maybe do something more formal. So maybe after drywall, hey, how's your experience so far? This could be like a very short actual survey that they would fill out toward the end. How's your experience? And there's so many different platforms now that you can do this where if it's below your threshold, it doesn't go straight to Google or whatever reviewing site that you want publicly. You internally can address those things and fix them. But that's important. We have to be asking our clients how we're doing and how can we do better? You know, what would you have liked us to have done to make this even better for you?
Someone listening, if they wanted to start this improvement tomorrow, they wanted to enhance that client experience. What's one or two little things that they could do? Not going to cost a lot of money. Just how do we move that 1% up every day?
Yeah, I think the very simplest thing you can do is sit down with your team and identify what are the main high-level points, if you will, that we are going to create in this journey for our clients. So, you know, if you look at a lot of the big builders, they'll have like a 10-step journey or a 7-step journey. That's actually a really good thing. Go and take a look at some of those big builder websites and see what their journey is, and you and your team design something similar. So if it's from the minute someone signs their contract, then maybe it's your pre-construction, then maybe it's construction, maybe pre-drywall, maybe final walkthrough, then maybe a warranty visit. Well, that's 5 points. If you identify that with your client up front, you're able to set expectations with them. You're able to show them, here's the journey we're going to go on together. At these points, we are going to have a like an official visit with you, whether that's on a Zoom or actually in the home or whatever the case may be. You're now inviting them to be a part of this journey. And I think at the very least, helping them to identify and see what that journey is going to look like is going to relieve a lot of their anxiety and stress and just the lack of trust because they don't know what's happening. They don't know what's going on. And then again, the reputation.
Data, we asked that question already, but I thinking about the CFOs, the guys that manage the money, the people that manage the money and the projects, and how do you balance that, very tangible spreadsheet mentality with that more, emotional intelligence kind of thing with how do you appease everyone on the operational side of the business?
Yeah, that's a good question. And this is always the stuff that I think people ignore a little bit because it
And I'm not
tends
making
to
fun of
be.
CFOs. I just want to clarify that. I have a CFO group. I don't want them to be upset.
But they're so important, right? They
Yeah,
keep
they
us on
are,
track
absolutely.
financially. But this is a super important thing to talk about because oftentimes people look at the client experience as kind of fluff. And do we really need it? Is it actually benefiting our business? There's been a lot of studies done. I don't have the data in front of me. You could even Google this, but the companies that invest in their team and invest in their client experience, they have greater revenue. They're more successful. They hold on to their teams longer. There's all kind of data to show that. And so I would even challenge you, for all of our listeners, challenge it. Try it for a year. Tell the, working with your CFO, say, I'm going to dedicate 1% of every project to wowing my clients and to creating a great experience for them. And then see what that response is. See what the ROI is. See how different that is for your clients and the type of reviews that you get, because we all know it's so much easier to have a repeat or a referral customer than it is to try to go out and get a new one. So that data right there, if you can calculate roughly what it would cost you in marketing dollars to go find a new client versus someone who's singing your praises for you for free, and they potentially bring you a handful of clients. Right there's already a data point, right? Not to mention, it feels really good to do the right thing. And it's fun to like have these conversations with your team of how are we going to wow this client? And yes, there's some things, I call it your client experience toolbox, that like you've got these things ready to go that you can just have for your clients. And then, because this is the most intimate interaction and transaction someone will have, you should know your clients pretty well. And that allows you to do something that will kind of just blow them away. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be tied to money. You can do things that really surprise people and make them feel those things that we talked about, valued, excuse me, a part of something, heard and seen. You can do that without spending any money. So that was a really long-winded answer, but I think
Not
there's
at
a lot
all.
in there.
So we have a few companies in our membership that have a director of client experience or something like that, and they're working hard to make all this stuff happen. Now, this is a little off topic, but one of those companies actually has a person that does this for employees as well to make sure that the employee is getting the appropriate experience. So I think a company like that who's willing to be in alignment with their people as well as their clients. And that's a, no lose situation as far as I can see. I think that's a great way to do it as well.
I love that.
So, I mean, you probably answered this part already, but of these touch points that we can have, what would you consider non-negotiable? Like, we have to do this in order to make sure the client experience is exemplary.
I would say it's probably two visits for sure, and you're going to kind of bookend it. The first would be kind of an introduction or a, oh goodness, what's the word for bringing someone on board?
Onboarding.
Essentially, the onboarding. There we go.
Orientation on board.
Yes,
Yeah. Yep.
orientation. There we go. Thank you. I think that's a really important part, and that shouldn't be missed because it's an opportunity for you to set expectations with your client and for you to say, hey, this is what we expect from you. This is what you can expect from us. Let me show you what this is going to look like as we work together. And then the end piece is that celebration. And make it a celebration. I
Yes.
think for us, it's, oh, finally we're done. Here's your keys. See ya. But again, this may happen only one time in someone's life. We should make it a big deal. This should be hugely a celebration, a fun time. Invite your whole team to be out there to celebrate with them, whatever that looks like. Make that day a big deal and make it a celebration for them.
I loved when I was in the field to be able to celebrate, someone's birthday, a soccer goal, whatever it might be, you get. And again, I've been on these jobs too that last 12 to 18 months, and you really get to know these families. Companies that truly stand out in this field, what separates them from, I don't want to say pickup truck Chuck, but just sort of your run of the mill, the sameness kinds of companies?
Yeah, I think at the core of it's you're trusted. Clients trust you. They're telling their friends about you because they're telling them, hey, this experience was good. I didn't have to pay more than what they told me. It was finished on time. They communicated with me regularly. The quality was incredible. Like it, I trust this person. I trust this builder. I trust this contractor, and I want you to meet them. What better gift is there than for someone to know that they fully trust you and that you've created that experience for them?
Do you think, and again, this is a little, we're talking more company side here, but do you think that this idea of exceptional client experience be a competitive advantage for a company when it comes to like recruiting and retaining employees? Is there, you think there's a correlation there?
100%. And this ties back into what we said earlier. You have to be aware of your team first. I think that's even before you start thinking about your client experience, thinking about your internal experience and how your employees feel. Do they are they seen? Are they heard? And do they have a place there? Are they valued? Now, if you can't get that right, then it's really hard to deliver a great client experience. And so when all of those things are working together cohesively and it's working really well, why would someone not want to work with you? They know they're going to be treated well. They know they get to be part of a company that's doing great things and they're proud of that. Everybody wants that, right? Who wants to work somewhere that they don't really, it's not too exciting to them. They maybe are a little embarrassed to tell people that they work there versus the opposite.
All right. This part of the show, I got five questions for you. I did not pre-feed them to you. You don't know what I'm going to ask you. Have fun with this. Don't overthink it. Sometimes folks do this, they overthink this a little bit, but just have fun with it, please.
Okay.
So, what book or podcast that's made a big impact on you when you how you think about leadership and client experience?
Oh my gosh. Without hesitation, Unreasonable Hospitality.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm looking at it on my shelf right now. I loved that book when it
It's an
first came out.
incredible book.
Before it blew up, I actually reached out to Will on LinkedIn and he responded. Like we talked, it was so cool, but it blew up now. I don't think that will happen at this point, but I love that book. I'm so glad you said that. If you weren't working in construction or consulting, what do you think you'd be doing instead? If you could change one thing about how our industry shows up for clients, what would it be?
I would love for everyone to consider that Covey, that famous Covey line of begin with the end in mind, thinking about your clients first. And if you do that first and then you design everything based on that, it's going to change everything in this industry.
Leah, thank you so much for being with us. I'm glad we were able to get this on the books. And
Yes.
thank you so much. Appreciate all you're doing for the industry.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Now, when we strip away all the technical stuff, the schedules, the spreadsheets, the specs, what we're really left with is people. People who are trusting us with their homes, their money, and a huge piece of their lives. Client experience is about leadership and awareness. Every interaction leaves a mark. Every call, every walkthrough, every update shapes how someone feels about the journey we're leading them through. When people feel seen, heard, and like they belong, everything changes. The work gets smoother, the trust gets stronger, and the reputation of our entire industry gets better. One project, one client, one experience at a time. So maybe the challenge for all of us is this, build great projects and build great experiences. In the end, it's the experience that people will remember. Thank you for listening to the Why We Build podcast. If you have any comments or questions, please reach out, greg@remodelersadvantage.com.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email greg@remodelersadvantage.com.